magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, June 5th, 2018, day 3 of Hope in Christ Area Revival.
That's so great.
So hope to see many of you tonight, 7 p.m. in Arthur, Illinois. It's the third night. In fact, tonight's special speaker will be Pat Pajak, I believe, P-A-J-A-K. He's tonight and tomorrow night. And Jesse Bates concluded last night. I saw him Sunday night. Holly Esther and I attended, and I saw a couple of the singing men down there. They live in that area,
yeah.
And a few others, but not too many of our radio listening family.
Hey.
It was like, wow, I'm meeting all sorts of new people, handed out a lot of papers. We had a God Listens You Can Too sign in our newspapers, and that little, I don't know if you remember the display that has program guides and surveys and invites to singing men and theater troupe.
It's lots of stuff.
I don't know what you call it. It holds
a
like
stand.
Eight different, it's plastic.
Yeah. Slots for everything.
Yeah, so we had that. So it was really easy. Set that on the table, and Dave and that whole group allowed us to have a whole table. So I left the resources there last night.
Good.
And then tonight I'll be there again to hand it out.
All right.
So come on down, 7 p.m. in Arthur. You just take I-57 for those of you on the interstate, the Arcola-Arthur exit, and then in about 15 minutes, about 15 or so miles, you go through Arcola into Arthur, past Yoder's, Wave,
Pick up some
poppy seed dressing
coming.
For me, and then just keep going, and you'll get to a four-way stop, and you'll see this humongous tent. They have 1,000 chairs set up, so it'll accommodate you and your friends and family members. Worship along with me, and each night there's different worship teams, and Stephen McClary has arranged all that. And so
that was quite an undertaking.
Yeah. So he's doing a great job. And if you go to Facebook, Hope in Christ Area Revival, do a search. They're streaming it live.
And
they're also archiving it. In fact, before this morning's program, you and I were recounting Sunday night's message because I was telling you this was the kickoff. And a real clear, great sound system. The weather has been fantastic. Didn't feel like it was uncomfortable at all. And
what was the guy's name?
Jesse Bates.
I liked a couple things he said.
Yeah, he was from Decatur, and he gave his testimony, what God redeemed him out of and how he came to know the Lord. And he said, if God can redeem me and bring me out of what I've been through, he can redeem any of you. And so he really gave a calling that
he talked about believing God for the impossible.
He
talked about, he said, this next generation, we need to get the message out clear because we're kind of given this mixed up message across the churches. We got to get them knowing the truth. It was a powerful message.
Yeah, he preached with power.
He did.
I appreciate, I've attended many African-American churches before, and they, between their mannerisms, their passion, their vocabulary, they get loud, they get fired up, and, many times might be off notes and just allow the Spirit to work through them. So. And he was humorous and funny. I mean, he'll just say, now, I know maybe this doesn't relate to some of your testimonies, but this is my testimony. Is it okay if I share?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I go a little deeper with y'all? And
now, he's from Decatur. Where is the man, Pat? Do we know where he's from?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't have a little bio on him, but I'll know tonight after hearing him. So come join us, Hope in Christ Area Revival. You can find out more at hopeinchristillinois.com, hopeinchristillinois.com, and it goes through the 17th. So there's still 13 more nights.
I know, and you were saying before we just came on the air that this weekend is the 9th. That's Ivan Parker. It's like it's already here.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, where is June?
Yeah, June is...
What is it? Is it July 4th tomorrow? Are we rushing along that fast?
Yeah. Hey, we were discussing a lot about that in our July edition of Prime Life Times that we're working on behind the scenes and just getting our June edition out tuned in yesterday.
Well, no wonder we don't know what month it is.
Oh, I know. It gets to be a blur. Well, we were saying yesterday on the air that...
It's really August, March.
After proof that June's for so long, and then when it came out, I thought, is this an old edition? I've seen this
you said that.
That's how it is. They're working in advance. But this Saturday, Ivan Parker's coming to town with his son, Josh. what we're doing, those of you that are like, now, are there tickets? How's it all working? There is a special meet and greet with reserved up front, artist circle seating, you know, the front few rows.
I love those words, artist circle.
Yeah, yeah. Those are reserved if you purchase your tickets in advance by calling the station. That's $25, and that'll be some snacks and a little reception with Ivan beforehand at 6 p.m. at the church next door here to Lincoln Square, the First United Methodist Church. But otherwise, it's general open seating. Doors open at 6:30, and that'll be by receiving a free will offering. So we still would ask that you would come and donate generously. Mm-hmm. But for those of you that maybe can't afford or bring in some children, just make a donation, and
that
it'll
just
come
sounds,
together.
That sounds biblical.
Yeah, I think you should.
The rich or those who even have some funds, pitch it in. Pitch in some extra. Those who can't come anyway, isn't it? What the
and
Bible
we,
says? Kind of your love feast should be like that?
Yes,
like that.
I hope so. And yeah. We do want to thank Thrivent Financial, Dean Hull and his partner, because they helped with some of the costs so that we could kind of take the risk, if you will, and go with a free will offering, that we'll get enough monies in to pay Ivan and pay for the expenses of the evening.
I was here that day that Dean was in bringing mm-hmm. that check to underwrite some of this, and I said something to him about, wow, that's just really great, you know, and he said, nope, just need to get the good news out, that's all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought, wow, that's really great.
Great perspective. Yeah. So this Saturday, June 9th, 7 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church right next to Lincoln Square here. Lots of parking. Ivan Parker, his son Josh, and the Singing Men of GNN will open up the evening. I don't know, five or six, seven selections. Then we'll sing back up with Ivan a couple songs. That's always fun. And then we'll let the rest of the evening be Ivan and the son Josh. So that's all happening this Saturday night. Hope you can make it. And hope you can make it tonight to Arthur, to the Hope in Christ Area Revival.
Summer's underway. There's a lot going on.
Wow, there is. There is so much that I can't even recount it all. Just trying to live day by day.
I know.
What's happening tomorrow?
Yeah.
Now, I know last week we talked about you launching into your book, maybe beginning at the beginning, but I want to reserve that for next week. That way we can discuss it and talk about it and create a couple radio announcements so that everyone can be kind of readied to tune in and to hear from the beginning, maybe a little behind the scenes, why you wrote it, the table of contents, and then launch into the readings from the beginning of the book.
Okay.
So how about waiting till next week on that?
That's fine.
And this week, I think you've picked out something.
Yeah.
This will be, let me get my little pen out so I can take a little note or two here. What's it going to be?
And it's number 40.
Number 40.
Chapter 40.
Titled?
The Kingdoms of Africa.
The Kingdoms. And what does that refer to?
The Kingdoms.
Like the various kingdoms,
yeah.
Not the kingdoms in conflict, like Chuck Colson's book, The Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of Man.
That would have been a good chapter, but it's not this one.
Okay. The Kingdoms. Okay.
All right. I'll read it. The continent of Africa was once a land of great kingdoms. It is only in recent years that the true scope of those long ago empires is finally coming to light. Lost in mystery and time, some lay hidden for thousands of years. Much of the history of pre-colonial Africa, particularly that of sub-Saharan Africa, was concealed and shrouded, some say purposefully, even from many Africans. Most people are only familiar with the pyramids and the history of ancient Egypt, but there were many other kingdoms. Kingdoms like the magnificent Gondar, built by the Solomonic emperors of Ethiopia. With its huge stone castles, its remains are majestic even today. Ethiopia is a land steeped in intriguing history. Documents from the first century rank the old Ethiopian kingdom of Aksum as one of the four great world powers, along with Rome, Persia, and China. With dynasties starting perhaps as early as 950 BC, including probable links to the son of Queen Makeda, Queen of Sheba, and King Solomon, many Ethiopians accepted the Torah nearly 1,000 years before the advent of Christianity. Thousands of Ethiopians embraced Christianity in the 4th century, and some of the oldest churches in the world are there.
Yeah, I think many of us, and I'm speaking maybe just for myself, but yeah you forget how big Africa is.
Yeah.
And you think of Egypt, and Egypt's got its own kind of style and history, and you forget, yeah, that's a part of Africa.
Yeah, it is.
And Ethiopia. Yeah. In fact, isn't it Entesh that belongs to one of those original churches?
Yes,
like
she does.
From the first century or
the Lady of Calico
or,
Jewelry. Yeah, she does.
Wow. Big country.
Yeah, big continent. Kingdoms like Ouagadou, the Empire of Ghana, with its vast military and legendary wealth, or the rival Almoravid and Almohad Berber dynasties competing for their North African empires. The Kingdom of Mali was once the second largest in all of Africa, and at its height, second only to the Mongolian Empire of Asia. Its wealth was exceptional. The Songhai Empire, which emerged from the Kingdom of Mali, was the largest empire Africa has ever seen. In the 16th century, the estimated population of Timbuktu, one of the cities on the Songhai trade routes, was 100,000 people, and was a place where spacious houses abounded. Scholarship thrived, and weavers of cotton and linen flourished.
In Timbuktu?
Uh-huh.
I think that what
in
that's
Songhai.
Been made popular by as a Beatles song or
no,
one of those that, rock the, and roll song, the Timbuktu.
Those guys
Stevens
on,
or something.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Gosh. Those guys on the camels with those black garbs and headdresses riding, collecting the salt,
Timbuktu,
made them rich.
Timbuktu, I think my dad or something. Did any other parents we'll send you back to Timbuktu or
you
something?
You betcha.
Okay.
All right. The Nubian kingdoms, the ancient black kingdoms of the Nile, have been downplayed for long years. It was the powerful Nubian pharaoh, Tiharqa, king of Kush, who was instrumental in stopping Sennacherib of Assyria from destroying Jerusalem in King Hezekiah's reign, 2 Kings 19:9 and Isaiah 37:9. Both Greek and Spanish chroniclers maintained that Taharqa advanced into Europe, reaching Spain. Some 3,000 years ago, the poet Homer was purported to have said of Nubians, "They are the most just of men." In the desert of northern Sudan are the Nubian ruins of Meroe, whose wealth came from its robust iron industry, trading with India, China, and later Rome. Further north are the ruins of Nubian Kerma, possibly to be numbered among the mightiest cities of antiquity. The Ashanti Kingdom of West Africa, in older days, boasted a vast wealth of famous gold, which they traded with many empires. Migrating from the Niger River area, the inhabitants of the Ashanti Kingdom may have descended from the Nubian Empire. They became a powerful and militaristic people with vast plantations and fought wars against colonization. They were weavers of beautiful cloth, builders of interesting towns and cities, and sellers of gold and slaves. The Swahili, with their picturesque stone cities and glistening shores, were traders from long ago. And the Mesopotamians, the Greeks, and the Romans all found their way to the east coast of Africa to trade. Upon the arrival of Arabs over 2,000 years ago, the Arab Swahili people continued to build a powerful trading empire and to be exporters of exotic spices, of gold, and of slaves brought out to the coast from the interior of Africa. The Portuguese mariner Barbosa, upon landing on the bright shores of East Africa in the 16th century, said, "They dress in very good cloths, wear many jewels of gold, and are dressed in silk stuffs." Old kingdoms, their impact now flowing through the rivers of history. The Zulu in the south of Africa, believed to have originally migrated from the Congo River Basin, experienced a riveting and sudden rise in military power in the 1800s, as a powerful leader transformed the loosely related clans into a single military power. The Zulu Kingdom fought against colonialism and gave the British Empire what is often called the most humiliating defeat in its history, before the kingdom ultimately fell to colonial forces.
think there was a movie called Zulu or something. I grew up watching that all the time. Yeah, that was one of those that left a huge impact. The Zulu tribes, they just kept sending them in, sending them in to take over some British stronghold or something. And wow.
The British finally brought in some really powerful cannons or something. I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was a brutal movie because they were just getting shot down. And the automatic weapons that they had at that time, I forget what it was, were
Gatling gun or something.
Piling up, and the Brits were just amazed that, it was a brutal movie.
Wow. The Kingdom of Great Zimbabwe, built and inhabited from 1100 to 1400 AD, consists of numerous buildings and massive circular walls made of granite stones. The high walls are fitted together with no mortar or mud, but have endured for 600 years. It was most probably built by the ancient Vakaranga, ancestors of the Shona people, on lush and fertile land that shows signs of habitation since the 1st century AD. The fortress sits on a hill, far above the tower and enclosure on the plain below. Archaeological findings give evidence that the Kingdom of Great Zimbabwe was rich in gold and was a trading center. Persian glass and Chinese porcelain, as well as Arabian coins from the 13th century, have been excavated on site. More than once, I have stood in the center of the massive ruins of Great Zimbabwe. All that is left of that distant civilization are the scattered, shattered remains. Everywhere in Africa are the lingering remnants of ancient peoples, of ancient kingdoms and dynasties, ancient civilizations, all gone. But the stories continue, and the ground speaks. To walk upon the ground of Africa is to stumble upon land that seems so old, so ancient, that it must have a heartbeat like a drumbeat to a very old song. Wherever we live in this world, we can ask ourselves the same single question. What will history tell of us, of our time? What will it report of our civilization and our particular country? Will it tell of a warlike people or a frivolous people? Perhaps it will tell of a people who frittered away time and resources, a people who were self-centered. Or maybe it will tell of a serving people, a people of esteem and high values who changed the world profoundly for the better and left a legacy, a profound mark upon history for others to follow and be inspired by. What story will history tell of us? For eventually it will tell its story. Someday, history will recount the tale of what it sees of us. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens, Greece, he said the following: "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." Acts 17:26 and 27. The peoples of the past have already had their time, their story. And civilizations of the future will have their moment of impact, their own place in history. But ours is now. What will it be? It's an important question. Individuals make up a nation and a culture. Although at times it seems that those cultures take on lives of their own, it is still groupings of individuals who make up the whole. Our responsibility as individuals is huge. Where we choose to speak up and how we choose to live to create the culture around us. The psalmist David, also an ancient and beloved king, wrote these words: "Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth." Psalm 2:10. We must be warned. We must be wise. The past kingdoms of this earth, as the dust blows over where they once stood, convict us. We also will pass. what is our legacy? Father, there is much I don't know about the past, about what ancient peoples thought and what they did. But I do know that our lives, our times, have been handed down from them, handed to us from all who went before us. We have sprung from them. Make us worthy to live up to the best of those who went before us, and let us quickly shed the wrongs of the others who preceded us. Let us find our way in your presence in this time of our lives to become a beacon for the generations to follow. Help us make them proud to call us their ancestors. Give us the wisdom of old and the wisdom from above.
And all of God's people said, amen. That'll preach,
thank
sister.
You.
That'll preach.
Hey, great.
Hey, that goes well with the revival. I'm thinking, wow. In fact, what do they say when somebody's preaching a message and they're like, hey, you're meddling now. Like when you're bringing conviction to people, like you're meddling. Oh, yeah, you're meddling in a good way. I was thinking, wow, the influence that we can have, the legacy that we can leave, the people that we can touch and be intentional. And how do we want to know our history or our past or our people group? How are we going to be known?
Yeah.
How we treated our country or how we preserved others?
Yeah.
Wow. And what was the title of that chapter?
The Kingdoms of Africa.
Because I'm thinking of the title that I'll put on the website.
Oh, yeah.
The Kingdoms of Old, or What is Our Legacy?
The Kingdoms of Africa.
And this pre-colonial, I want to give that some thought because I think many of us maybe aren't familiar with all that history. And it was interesting how some of it combines with the Old Testament history.
Yes, it does.
And so it's like, wow.
Saving Jerusalem.
Yeah. Some of those kings, too, that we're aware of that were in conjunction with the Africans, or the people of Africa, the continent.
It was a big history that gets lost. And I have to say that Ashanti king with his wealth of gold, when I was over there, the current Ashantahini, he was called, he gave my father a gold necklace of Ashanti gold. It was a beautiful rose. It was so delicate. And he said, for your child in Accra. And so my daddy brought it back to me. Brought it down to Accra. That was so wonderful.
Wow. Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center.
Mm-hmm.
Also online, Amazon, lots of way to get multiple copies.
Even iTunes, you can go there.
iTunes too. And we'll launch into the beginning of this, the readings and some of the background next week, next Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you.
During the same time, during Mark and Friends.
People have asked, you know, what part are you in? What country? When, where? And I said, well, maybe we should just start at the beginning.
Yeah, we're going to start at the beginning. Back to the beginning.
There
back
you
go. To the future. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you tonight at the Hope in Christ Area Revival. Begins at 7 p.m. in Arthur tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.